I have long said that one of the, not going to say strength or weakness, just an aspect, an element of church life, is that whenever something comes into this building, it never leaves again. So if someone donates a picture, that picture is here for all eternity. If you bring in something for us to use in the kitchen, it's going to be in the kitchen forever and ever and ever, amen. And every so often, we probably would do really well to do a little spring cleaning, maybe throw out some stuff that have been sitting in a corner for 20 years, but we don't. It's here and it will stay here and it will always stay here. And it's marvelous, actually, sometimes, if you really dig into what we have here in the building. In the office, we have records that go back over 100 years, where if you want to know what they were talking about in church council in 1924, you can go find out what they were talking about in church council in 1924. It's sort of like a whole litany of our history, and that's a very neat thing. My office, though, is pretty much the exact same way. Anything that comes into my office pretty much stays there forever and ever. You will notice if you come into my office that I have pictures of my family up. Many of those photographs that I have of my family, I have brought with me and held dear and near for probably longer than makes logical sense, because you'll notice that I have photographs on my wall of my family, and they're like baby pictures. They're baby pictures of my grown adult children who are now out in the world with jobs and degrees and out there. But they're just there on my wall. And I think sometimes when I look at those baby pictures, I really should go get some contemporary pictures of my children. Some photographs of who they are now, because, you know, as adorable as the baby pictures are, they're adults, most of them now. And I should have some grown-up photographs of them. But you know what? As a parent, there's this marvelous nostalgia to those baby pictures of our children. We love looking at the baby pictures because it brings back fond memories for us. But it also reminds us that when we look at those baby pictures of our children, especially when they're grown now and off on their own doing their thing, you can look at them and you can say, I can see the adult in that baby. I can see the person that is going to be all of those cute little personality quirks and traits and little things that make this person, you can just look at that baby and go, I can see that in their eyes. I can see that in the way they smile, or I can see that in the way they're looking at the camera, or I can see that in the way they're standing there in a little dress or a little suit or whatever it is. You're like, oh, you know, I could just see that adult that's going to be in that baby picture. And there's something wonderful about having those nostalgic memories. Every so often, not that I'm always a huge fan of social media, but every so often Facebook will say, do you remember this? It happened 20 years ago. And I'll see a photograph of long, long ago. And I think, oh, just remember when the kids looked like that. Today's gospel lesson is a baby picture. Today's gospel lesson is the church's baby picture. In fact, you know how they take those newborn photos and they don't quite look like people yet? You get those day-old photographs and you're like, well, you're going to be something one of these days. And it's just sort of, you can start to see a glimmer of who they're going to be. Today's gospel lesson is one of those photographs. We have the church in its newborn infancy in today's photograph. All of the things that the church will grow up to become are there in today's gospel message. First and foremost, they're together. They didn't have to be together. In fact, we're told that they're hiding out for fear of the Jewish leaders. They could have done the most logical thing, which was to have gotten the heck out of the Dodge. Just everybody go home. Everybody go back to what they were doing. Everybody go back to their jobs. Everybody scatter. We're sitting ducks here all together. But they were. They were still all together. And it was worth noting that Thomas was not with the disciples while they were in the upper room. It was exceptional. And so they were together. And one of the first things that we have to remember that makes the church, is that we do it together. Solo Christianity, faith practiced by a singular individual, will always be a stunted and incomplete thing, because we need each other. We need to see Christ reflected in the lives of our fellow Christians. We need to be challenged by those who have come further than we have, and we need to be able to turn around and offer a hand up to those who've not come as far as we have. We need to be there to support one another, to exhort one another. That's a great biblical word, exhort. It means to encourage someone to do right. We need to be encouragers of one another. And so we have the church. It's gathered together. And they're not perfect. They're not, by any stretch of the imagination, perfect. We have Peter, who's denied he even knew who Jesus was. We've got Thomas, who, even though all of his friends have had this magnificent faith moment, he's just too stubborn. He's just too headstrong and doesn't ever have a filter on what comes out of his mouth. Thomas says, I won't believe it unless I can feel it and touch it with my own hands. The other disciples are there to lift him up, to say, hey, it's real. We saw it. We have faith in it. Because then Christ does come again. He does appear in their midst. And he does speak those wonderful words when he says, peace be with you. Why do we gather as the people of God? To exhort one another, to strengthen one another, yes, but also to hear a word from Christ that says to us, peace be with you, because there's not a lot of the rest of life that's ever going to say those words to you. There's not a lot of the rest of life that's ever going to say to you, be at peace. Understand that you are safe, you are secure, you are taken care of, you are loved and beloved, and you will be all right. The rest of the world, it says the exact opposite to us 99% of the time. The rest of the world says, be urgent, be busy, be active, be productive, be successful, be beautiful, be young, be strong, be capable. The world does not look to us and say, be at peace, because it is okay. The world says, be in conflict, because everything's just up in the air. We need to gather to hear Christ's word proclaimed to our hearts what the world won't, which is that God loves us, God cares for us, and that God gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross in order that we might receive renewed life, life abundant, life everlasting, life in the presence of God the Father, made possible through the forgiveness of our sins on the cross, and that alone. You can't go out in the world and hear that message, because it doesn't have that message. Only we have that message. You have to gather to hear it. There's a reason that we gather. There's a reason the disciples in this baby picture were gathered together. To be gathered together, ready to experience the Word of God. But why do you experience that Word of God? In order that you might have faith. Have faith is what the message of this infant church is teaching. Not faith in each other, because, well, we're not always perfect. Not faith in an institution. There was no institution. They were just gathered in a room. Have faith in the one who gathers us. Have faith in Christ above and beyond all else. Have faith in the one who cannot even be moved by the power of death itself. Christ is the immovable object in our lives. He is the thing that never, ever shifts. Like I told the kids up here, it doesn't matter whether you have a moment where you can't see Christ. He's not gone anywhere. More often than not, as adults, if you have a moment where you feel like you can't see Christ in your life right now, it's not that he went anywhere, it's you're facing the wrong direction. It's not that he's abandoned you, it's that you've turned away. You've taken your eyes off the cross. And so the church is here to encourage us to have faith in the Christ who never abandons us, not even when death tried to take him from us. And to have faith in the Christ who is saying to us, peace be with you. I forgive you. Even Thomas, who could not bring himself to believe that Christ could be alive again, Jesus doesn't come to him and say, hey, Thomas, I understand that you weren't willing to believe that I was here, so I'm going to talk to the disciples, but I want you to leave because you weren't willing to have faith in me, so you're done. Have fun. Go wherever you were when you weren't here. No. What does Jesus say? He says, here's my hands. Here's my side. You need to see. You need to touch. You need to have faith. Come and see and be forgiven. Because forgiveness, oh, that's the most beautiful aspect of what it is that Jesus is creating in this infant church. It is a place where we come and we understand ourselves fundamentally not as partially forgiven, not as forgiven to an extent, not as forgiven-ish, but fully, wholly, and completely forgiven. What is it that Jesus says? I breathe on you, receive my Holy Spirit. What do you do with this Holy Spirit thing? What does the church do? Well, it's what we do every single Sunday when we begin our worship service. We begin it with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. Do we do that because if we don't, we won't be forgiven? Do we do the confession because, boy, I better get that in, you know, it's sort of like filing your taxes, you know? You got to have that in or you're going to get in trouble. By a certain date? No! We don't do the brief order for confession and forgiveness every Sunday in order for you to earn that forgiveness. We do it in order to be reminded by Christ that we are those who have been forgiven wholly and completely on the cross. Every last moment of our lives hung there on that cross with Christ. The best, the worst. He took it all. And so the church has been tasked, blessed, with the gift of proclaiming the forgiveness of sins, even to the Thomases of the world whose faith needed a little extra nudge. Fellowship, faith, and forgiveness. You can see it on this infant picture of the church. You can see it in what the church is today. And have we reached the apex of our adulthood? Are we now in the most perfect form that the church is going to be as it grows? Of course we're not. Half the time we look like toddlers, half the time we look like rebellious teenagers. Every so often, as God's people, we show just that sign of what we will be when we come into the fullness of God's kingdom, when we find ourselves in God's heavenly kingdom. That perfect church that we will one day be, we show glimmers of it just like a baby picture does. But we are always being led deeper. We are always being led forward by the God's Holy Spirit into the gifts of the church. The gifts of fellowship, faith, forgiveness, in order that we might proclaim the same to the world that we live in. Because, of course, Jesus says to them, as my Father has sent me, I am sending you. Where did the Father send Jesus? Well, the Father sent Jesus to the world that he came to live in to proclaim in every way, shape, and form possible the coming of the kingdom of God, that it was imminent, that it was here. Well, this is our job too. We, the church, go out empowered by the Holy Spirit to invite others to come and share in the same thing. The gifts of grace that we're all starting and never finishing to grow into. So I say to you all this Easter Sunday, enjoy this beautiful baby photo in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John. It was also in the other readings that we had today as the church tried to figure out how we live together as a community. And remember the importance of all of those gifts as we try to grow and mature in our faith as God's people. Amen.